Oh, let me tell you, but I have got to the point where I thank God for the troubles and trials he has suffered to come into my life to help me keep in touch with him. Because I know I would forget him if I didn't have a certain amount of trouble in life. You know, David said one time, it was good for me to have been afflicted. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, friends, in our troubles and trials, we don't need to go to alcohol or drugs. We don't need to go to affairs. And we don't need to go to all of the addictions of our time. What you and I need to do is draw closer to God. Draw as close to him as we possibly can and find comfort there in that hour. I want to go with you tonight and my goodness, my time is almost gone here. And I really hadn't even got into what I wanted to get into tonight. We may have to take us up tomorrow night, the Lord willing. Those of you who aren't familiar with Primitive Baptists, we don't rush through the service. We try not to anyway. But anyway, let's go, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want us to see an interesting experience in the history of the nation of Israel under Jehoshaphat. You know, Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, and they were facing one of the greatest difficulties of their time. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in... And he goes on to tell about where they were, and he names off a bunch of them. And I would struggle trying to pronounce some of those ikes that were coming up against the nation of Israel. But there was a great multitude that was coming against the nation of Israel. And Israel was no match for the enemy that day. I want to tell you, folks, you and I have got a lot of ikes coming against us tonight. It could be the ike of lung disease, as Brother Little has in Duke Hospital tonight, 57 years old. I know he loves his family and loves the church and wants to live. I saw my brother struggle with brain cancer for 2 years, wanting so much to live and raise his children. Oh, what an ike that was that came against him and his entire family. You may be having an ike coming against you tonight. You may have lost your job. At supper tonight, we met a young lady that had just lost her job today. You know, that can be quite a crisis if you've got bills to pay and the job is gone all of a sudden. Maybe you're struggling with some other physical problem or financial problem. Oh, there's the ike of marital problems, and that's a big problem in our world tonight. Many people struggling with alcohol and all kinds of addictions. There are many ikes in the world coming against us tonight. And I want to tell you, the devil is continually attacking God's children in this life. I believe the devil is real, he's cunning, he's powerful, and he's always setting a trap for us in this life. And you and I are in the same condition that Jehoshaphat and the army of Israel was in the long ago. Now let's notice in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Now you talk about a prayer, brother. That's a magnificent prayer. Jehoshaphat begins to pray to God. And long before he ever gets to talking about his problem, he's talking about how great God is. You know, I need to learn that in my life. Instead of talking about my problems to everybody, I need to be talking to God and talking about how great God is. And you know, it's amazing, isn't it? When you got a problem and you take it to God, that problem seems to shrink. It has for me. Now, notice what Jehoshaphat said as he began to pray. O Lord God of our fathers, The God that was with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that kept my earthly father and mother and sustained them through their tribulations and trials. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? He is, brother. God is still on the throne. He is still in heaven. Sometimes I act as though I got the news God was dead. Have y'all ever been that way? I saw a sign one time, did me more good. I was in a chiropractor's office having some muscle spasms and probably from tension and stress, and there was a sign right over the sofa where I was that said, God is bigger than any problem you've got. You know that sign did me more good than the adjustment? Oh, I just laid there and got to thinking about how great God is. And a peace came to me. But you know, Satan is always trying to rob that truth from me. He's always attacking my mind, always sitting on my shoulder and saying, Sam, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What about you? What are you going to do? What I need to tell him is to go hang himself because I'm trusting in God. Would y'all agree with that tonight? Now, Jehoshaphat was praying, and all he was saying, God is in heaven. That's right, folks. God is on his throne tonight. He is sovereign. He created the heavens and the earth. He is the eternal I am. He said to Moses, when Moses was called to go down to Egypt to lead his children out of Egyptian slavery, Moses said, I've got a stammering tongue. And when I face Pharaoh, what shall I tell him? And God said, you tell Pharaoh, I am that I am hath sent thee. God is not a has-been or a will-be. He is the eternal I am. And he said, I am hath sent thee. And I believe he just gave Moses a blank check and signed it on heaven's bank. And I am whatever you need, Moses. Whatever you need on that mission, I'll be that to you. Did you know God has said that to us tonight? God is in heaven, folks. He is on his sovereign throne. And the more we know that and think about that, the less we'll fear in this life. I like the story of the mother who was cooking supper one night, and she was running late, and she didn't have time to go out to the pantry in the backyard and get some beans for supper, and she wanted her little boy to go out there. And it was a dark night, and he didn't want to go. And he said, Mama, it's dark out there. She said, you go on, son, because, she said, I'm busy. I've got to have some help. She said, Jesus will be with you. Don't you worry. Well, he got out there, and he was as scared as he could be, and he cracked that door to that pantry and looked in there, and it was blacker than midnight under a washpot. And he said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me one of those cans of beans? You know, I've thought about that story over the years. If that little boy could just know how wonderful Jesus is and how amazing his grace is, I'll tell you, he wouldn't have been scared of that pantry, and he wouldn't have been scared of the valley of the shadow of death. You know, that's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Men in the flesh tremble in the sight of the great monster death. But I want to tell you, if the Spirit of God is with you in that hour, you won't fear any evil. You'll say, come, welcome death. I'll gladly go with thee. Oh, brother and sister, you and I tonight need to keep telling ourselves, God is on the throne. He is in heaven above. And nobody is able to dethrone him. When somebody selected Jesus Christ, Pilot Me tonight, Brother E.W. said, I like that song. He said, you know, you see these bumper stickers where Jesus is my co-pilot. He said, he's not my co-pilot, he's my pilot. I say amen to that. And brother, he doesn't need a co-pilot. Jesus Christ doesn't need a vice president. He doesn't need somebody waiting in the wings in case something gets wrong with him, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why Paul said that way? The same yesterday, today, and forever. If he had said the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we would have thought, well, what about after tomorrow? But I'm here to tell you, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing stays the same in this world. Like my dear sister at home said, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. We were talking last night in the car coming home about how we miss people like Brother Max Hedgecock. Oh, wouldn't it be a pleasure to have some of those dear ones around with us tonight? Oh, I think of my dad and my mother. Oh, if I could just have them back 30 minutes, it would be a glorious experience. If I could have old Elder Byrd back for a day, oh, brother, that'd be heaven on this earth. But you see, they're gone. Nothing stays the same on this earth. But aren't you glad God is the same? He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jehoshaphat was reminding himself of that when he began to pray to God. And listen to what he says. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Do y'all believe in that kind of God tonight? A God that has all power. A God who can speak and it is done. Who can command and it stands fast. Do y'all believe in that kind of God? I believe in a God that created this universe in 6 days. He said, let it be, and it was so. He is a big God, folks. He is a sovereign God. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. He is in heaven, and he rules over the heathen of this world. And you and I just need to keep reminding ourselves of God and how great he is and how wonderful he is and that he is our Father. And we can come to him at any time with our needs and find help in time of need. What a blessing that is in this life. And so Jehoshaphat said, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Jehoshaphat is praying to God, and he's saying, you got all this power, and you gave this land to your friend Abraham. And now we need your help. And brother, I want to tell you, he was blessed in that prayer. How many times in our lives have we come against great giants, and God has been there for us? Now notice, if you will, I want to come down to another part of his prayer, down in let's notice verse 12 tonight. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What a prayer. I want to notice three things in that statement that he made. Powerful statements, confessions on the part of Jehoshaphat. He says, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. In other words, he's saying we are weak and we are stupid. I tell you, you're not going to get much help from God until you get real and recognize that you are weak in yourself. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. We don't get much help in prayer until we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge how dependent we are on an independent God. We hear a lot about independence today. So many people in their lives get hurt, and in order to avoid pain, they harden their hearts and they put a Teflon coating around them, and they become like steel magnolias. And they have the attitude, I can handle life. I can take care of it myself. I'm independent. I'm Mr. Independent or Mrs. Independent. You're just playing the fool, folks, when you think that. There's a thousand ways that you can be brought down to where you have to acknowledge your own weakness. And it's just better to go ahead and do that right up front. And that's what Jehoshaphat said. He said, we have no might against this great company that's come against us. And we don't know what to do. You know, when we face life's problems, we tend to lean on the arm of the flesh, and we lean on our own understanding, and we try to work it all out ourselves. And man's been doing that for centuries, and we continue to do it today. Isn't it much better to just fall on our faces before God and acknowledge that we are weak and that we really don't have the intelligence to deal with the situation, but our eyes are upon you? That's what Jehoshaphat was saying to God in this very hour. And you know what happened? God instructed Israel to begin to worship him. Instead of marching their armies out to meet the great enemy, they began a worship service. And they began to sing and praise God. And in the midst of their worship and praise to God, God caused their enemy to lose their right mind, and they began to self-destruct. Isn't that an amazing thing? how God prevailed in that hour and gave them victory over their enemy. That's what God can do for us tonight. You know, I think about so many times Paul and Silas when they were in Philippi in prison. And they were in stocks in the innermost prison. And that was a terrible experience for them. They had been preaching the gospel and they were arrested and beaten and then locked in prison. And you know what they did in that prison cell? Now they were against an enemy they had no might against. They didn't know what to do as far as getting out of jail was concerned. But you know what they did? They began to worship God in that prison. I've often imagined what they said to one another. You know, I do that sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. I think we have the liberty to imagine the conversation between Paul and Silas. I could hear Paul, the old man, saying to the young brother, "Silas, how are you doing?" Silas would have probably said, "Well, my back hurts from the whipping they gave us. And I sure am cold in this dungeon, and I could sure enjoy something to eat. But other than that, Brother Paul, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?" Knowing Paul as we know him in the New Testament, he would have said, "Brother Silas, I'm not even worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. Let's sing a song." And so at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing a hymn to the praise and the glory of God. You know, that ought to tell us how to handle life's problems. And you know, it wasn't long before God got them out of there by his sovereign power. Sister in our church a while back was over helping her daughter. Her daughter was divorced and moving into a house, and it was not much of a house, and they were having to clean it up, and this was a heartache for her. She was sad her daughter's marriage had ended. Her grandchildren were going through this kind of struggle, and she was over there cleaning this house for her daughter and singing. And she was singing the old hymns, and she said, "You know, Brother Sam, as I was cleaning that house from stem to stern and singing the old hymns, God came and comforted me and gave me grace in that hour." She said, "My daughter came in and turned the radio on to a country music station and said, 'Mama, how can you stand the silence?' And you know, when the radio was turned on, the hymns left her mind." I tell you, a lot of us need to turn the radio off and the television off a lot of times and get quiet and alone with God and sing some of the old hymns and praise God in the midst of the troubles of life. When my brother was dying with a brain tumor in Augusta, he was there one Sunday by himself and flipping through the TV channels trying to find something that he might could feed his soul on, and it was no use. And there was a colored woman came into the room that morning, and she was singing a beautiful song that my brother had never heard. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." And my brother said to her, he said, "What is that you're singing?" And oh, she told him, and she said, "You know, I like to be at church on Sunday, but I had to work today." And she said, "I've been singing this song to myself all morning." And Edie said, "I want you to sing it to me." And she stood there by his bedside and sung every verse of that song and fed his soul. And my brother said he never got any closer to heaven in his entire life than he did that morning, as that dear Negro woman ministered to his soul by singing one of the great hymns of all time. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." I want to tell you, singing is good for the soul, brother and sister. We don't just sing here for the Johnny-come-latelys to get here. We sing because it's a blessing to sing. Would y'all say amen to that? We sing because we want to sing. We sing because there's something to sing about. We sing about how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. "It is well with my soul, and amazing grace, and how great thou art." Those old hymns minister to the heart and the soul. And I can tell you, if you'd go to church more and be in the midst of the saints of God, those burdens and trials would be lighter to bear. I'd be in a mental institution tonight if it wasn't for the church and the hymns and the preaching and your blessing and fellowship in this life. Brother, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm trusting in the Almighty, and his grace has brought me safe thus far. And so instead of Israel figuring out a battle plan, they just said, "We don't know what to do. We're weak, but our eyes are on you." That's what old Baptists need to be doing right now. Instead of folks going around preaching our funeral and talking about how bad everything is and trying to come up with a new program to save the old Baptist church, brother, what old Baptists need to do is to do what Jehoshaphat said. Say, "We are weak and we're dumb, but our eyes are on you. And the God that has kept and sustained the church for 20 centuries can get her into the new millennium." Don't y'all believe that? Oh, I love to preach about God and encourage our folks to look to Him and not look to me or any other preacher or man on this earth. And as they began to worship God, notice what God said to them. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm going to read that one more time because some of you were distracted by something. I imagine you were. And I want y'all to give me your attention tonight. You know, I love babies. I love children. They're a blessing to our church, and we thank God for them. But they don't want your attention. I want your attention. I heard about a woman one time. She was taking a little boy out of the church, and the preacher said, "Don't take him out, sister. He's not bothering me." She said, "I know, but you're bothering him." Well, that's probably the truth a lot of the time. But I want your attention tonight. These children don't. These mothers do their best with them, and we're glad they bring them to the house of God. But I want to read this text again, because this may be the best text you're going to hear in 1999. Listen to it again. God says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Are you facing trouble in your life tonight? All of us are, in one degree or another. Everybody's got problems. The only people I know on the planet that don't have any problems are in the cemetery. Everybody else has got them. This one man joined the church. It looked like after he joined the church, his problems multiplied. And he went to the pastor and he said, "I don't understand. I joined the church, I commit my life to God, and my problems just get bigger. I don't understand." The preacher put him in this car and drove him out to the city cemetery. Drove him up and down the city cemetery for a while. And he said, "You know, these people out here all have two things in common. One thing they all have in common is none of them have any problems. The second thing they have in common is they're all dead. Everybody else on the earth has got problems, folks." And I want to encourage all of us tonight, myself included, to acknowledge our inability to deal with those problems. I want to tell you, this nation, America, had founding fathers who understood that. And when our nation was facing Britain and the English army, the most magnificent army in the world, and George Washington's ragtag army had no chance at all against England and her might, and Washington's army was starving to death at Valley Forge, they didn't even have shoes to wear, and the snow was knee-deep, had nothing to eat, and the colonies were weary from battle and war, and Washington had won so few battles, and it looked like it was hopeless. You know what Washington did? Some years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., visiting our congressman, and he said, "Have you been to the chapel?" And I said, "No." And he took me down the hall to the best part of the whole congressional building. And it was a little chapel, a place of prayer. And they had in mosaics on the wall a picture of George Washington at Valley Forge, kneeling in the snow, calling on God, recognizing that his help had to come from the Almighty. And I believe God strengthened and sustained the founding fathers and the colonies and the Continental Army. And I believe God brought us victory. What about y'all? And for over 200 years, we have enjoyed the great freedoms and liberties of the United States of America. No land like it in all the world. And I want to tell you, our roots are deep in God's divine providence. And it's no accident that our motto is, "In God we trust." That's not by accident, folks. Our trust is in not nuclear missiles or our great wealth or in our think tanks and our brains and our universities. Our trust is in God. And if America doesn't wake up and come to her senses and return to the God of our fathers, I don't see any hope for us. I believe that the floodgates will be opened and we'll be swept away if God's people don't turn back to the God of our fathers. And all through our history, God has been there as a nation. He's been here with Parkview Church. And I know he's been with my church at home since 1809. God has sustained her and kept her through many troubles and trials. And God will keep us tonight. You know, many people are worrying about Y2K, scared to death about the turn of the millennium. They think God is coming back. don't know why that would be scary. I can't imagine a greater thing happening than God to come back in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, when he left, he said, I'm coming back. And that's the brightest star in the Christian sky tonight. They think the computers are going to go crazy. I don't know what's going to come. I don't have a clue. All the experts seem to disagree on it. I don't know, but I do know one thing. God will still be on his throne. He doesn't run by computer, folks. He is the God of this universe. He has power both in heaven and in earth. And he said, I'll never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. I told him last night, I found out what that word never means in Greek. It means never. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you all find comfort in that tonight? Aren't you glad to know? Listen, God is not visible to our eye, but he's more real than this building tonight. His grace is sufficient. Sometime back I was over in Greenville, South Carolina, late one night trying to find a brother's home, got lost. And some boys ran me off the road. Two big pickup trucks, bunch of rednecks up there. They saw I was out of town, and I guess they were going to pick on me that night. It was a Friday night. Boy, I'm telling you, they were big guys, too. I mean, they were tough. And I tried to outrun them. Before I prayed, I tried to outrun them. But that little Mercury Marquis just couldn't get up enough steam. And one of them got in front of me, one got beside me. There's nothing to do. And I just started praying to God, and I said, Lord, you know, I've had a wonderful life. If this is the end, you know, I thank you for all the blessings I've had, but I would like to get out of this alive. And he just spoke to me in the way God can do it and said, just pull over to the side of the road. The battle is mine, not yours. And so I did. I just pulled over and I stopped and I got out. I'd been to Atlanta visiting in the children's hospital and got lost in Atlanta. That was why I was so late. If you've never been lost in Atlanta, you don't know what it is to be lost. I was frustrated, tired, got lost up in Greenville. And now these boys are running me off the road. And one of them got out, and he was cussing me. I hadn't heard that kind of word since I was a kid. And God blessed me to be as calm as I am right now. And he had his fist balled up, and I could tell they were going to beat me to a pulp. I didn't know if I'd done anything to offend them or not. But I said to him, I said, look, fella, I said, I don't know what the problem is. If I've done something to offend you, I'm sorry about it, but I said, I'm tired. I've been lost all day. I'm trying to get over here to a friend's home, and I said, if we're going to have to fight, let's just go ahead and get it over with. And this man was 6 feet three or four and probably weighed 200 pounds. He could have beat me to a pulp with one hand behind him. And me up there talking to him like that. If I'd have been in my natural mind, I'd have been trembling like a leaf. I'd have probably been running down through the woods. But I was, and you know, the only thing I was worried about was I didn't bring an extra shirt. I'd left home without a shirt, and I thought, now if I get in a fight and get this all bloody, I won't have a shirt to wear tomorrow to church. Wasn't that something to worry about when I could have been killed that night? And you know what? That man, for some reason, and I believe God was in it, his fist just relaxed. He shut his cursing mouth and walked back to his truck and got in and drove off. I've never laid eyes on him again. The battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. Now, I know we're supposed to use good sense and be cautious, go to the doctor when we get sick, and take care of ourselves as best we can in this life and lock our doors at night. I'm not talking about just living a foolish, reckless life. But I want to tell you, brother, there's just so much you and I can do. But aren't you glad we've got a bodyguard that's got all power in heaven and in earth? And he can take care of us if we're in his will. I believe he will be our defender, our shield, and our exceeding great reward. And we don't have to live our lives in dread fear. Oh, I know what it is to fear. I know what it is to not take it to God in prayer. I struggle in my humanness as you do. And I'm preaching to myself tonight, as well as to all of you. I want you to find comfort in knowing that we are weak and we are dumb, but our eyes are upon the Lord. Thank you for your good attention. Consider what I've said, and the Lord give you understanding.
which reminds us how frail we are and where our eyes often are wandering. We're in every place except where they should be. And I know that you have enjoyed preaching. I know I have. And this, again, stirs up our pure minds to remind us that all of our help comes from Him.
Amen.
And the battle's not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And so, if you're here tonight and you've enjoyed this and it's brought comfort to your heart, it's a great evidence that you've been born again of the Spirit of God, and that God is your helper, God is your Lord. And if you're here, you've distraught because of sin, because of a misspent life, and you're going to have the opportunity when you give the right hand of fellowship and the right to come unite with the church or any church here that we have the proper representation from sister churches. You certainly allow that and feel like that would be appropriate. So it's always now is the day of salvation. That salvation which you enjoy in obedience. So if you're here tonight and like to do that, we're certainly encouraged to come. Our custom, of course, is always to give the right hand of fellowship. And if you're here tonight, and we'd love to give you, if you're not a member, we'd love to give you the right hand of friendship. And so we're going to ask these preaching brothers to come and stand with us here and sing some appropriate songs. And we'll just start over here and come around and speak to Elder Bryant and wish him well. And hopefully tomorrow night we'll be back here. And Elder Bryant, this will finish his appointment here in this area. And so I hope that you can come and be with us tomorrow night. I know you've enjoyed tonight. And you're going to leave feeling like that you have your vision, your spiritual vision has been adjusted. And we're so prone to look to our own strength and our own energy on the line. And so I appreciate the message. And so let's turn to appropriate song. Brandon, you have one selected?
194.
Turn to 194. We'll begin with that and then we'll use some more. Elder Steve Nichols, I don't know if I mentioned him tonight. He's in High Point Church and that's what you get when you start talking about these preachers' names. So want him to come stand with us too. All of you, please come, Elaine, Elvin, please come stand with us. Elgunner, all of you. So these people can shake their hand and speak to you. So 194.
Five years of